We're talking with Josh Gaskamp from the Noble Foundation and one of their wildlife research consultants. And Josh, this is a serious problem. The wild hogs or feral swine that we have in the state, they continue to really give a lot of headaches to landowners.
That's correct. Feral hogs affect every discipline, you know, from the wildlife managers. There is a huge potential transmission of diseases between wildlife and feral hogs. They also affect corn growers, wheat growers. They can severely damage those crops. They affect livestock producers because of the disease potential transmissions. You name it, they affect everyone.
Do we have a dollar amount? Have you been able to get your arms around any sort of an actual amount of damages out there?
Unfortunately, it's really hard to assess the amount of damage that hogs do, especially, you know, ecologically. I mean, to the native wildlife and, you know, the flora and fauna out there on the landscape, it's hard to put a dollar figure to that. It's hard to put a dollar figure to disease potential transmissions to those animals. There are some estimates that are thrown around in various publications and stuff across the South that have been dealing with feral pigs for quite some time, and they put estimates anywhere from $800 million to $1.5 billion in agriculture and environmental losses per year due to feral swine.
That's across the entire Southeast?
That's across the entire United States, and obviously feral swine are really more densely populated in the South and Southeast, so it pretty much covers the Southeast.
Right. Yeah, one statistic, this really was almost, or really two things in particular, but one that you mentioned, that a single hog has the potential to do a lot of damage in a single night.
Sure. Book put out by Pimentel et al. Actually was able to determine that one pig can cause about $200 in damage in a single year, and that's a really conservative estimate. That puts it at that 800 million mark for all the pigs in the United States, but that's a really conservative estimate, because in that same study they were documenting that $1,000 worth of damage could occur in one night on agricultural croplands like corn due to a single pig in one night.
The control of animals. You gave a control number. You said we've got to control a large number of the population in order just to stay even with the number of pigs that are out there in a given area.
Because of feral swine reproductive potential, I mean, they do have up to 2 litters a year, and they average about 6 pigs per litter. Those female piglets are then capable of reproducing at 6 to 8 months of age. So the reproductive potential is huge. So because of that, we have to reduce the population by 70% on an annual basis in order to maintain status quo. So if we catch only 50% of the population, next year we're going to have more pigs.
One of the things that you talked about with the audience today, this feral swine forum that the Department of Ag is putting on, you talked about the disease problems, and that seems to be one of the, along with the damage itself, that's a very major concern.
The disease concern is a really huge problem, because crop damage we can see and we can mitigate by control methods and things like that. The diseases, every landowner just can't afford to go out and test the pigs that they have on their property for diseases and make sure that we keep the diseases off our place. So the disease potential is real, and it's a huge problem, because if we were to get some of these foreign animal diseases like foot and mouth back in the United States, it would cost billions of dollars to control the animals and the area the animals are in. We'd have to basically quarantine the entire domestic population of animals in the area. We'd have to do what we could to get rid of the feral swine that were carrying the disease. It would cost, that $1 billion mark is just guessing, but it's probably a huge economic value that we're going to have to undertake if we get one of those foreign animal diseases.
Yeah, in your work at Noble, you and some of your associates have worked on some ideas on how to control or how to capture some of these pigs to get them off of a piece of property.
That's right. You know, since we saw years ago when I first started work at the Noble Foundation that some of the existing technologies were ineffective at controlling pigs at the population level. So we had to, you know, at that 70% mark, they, you know, we were only catching about 50%, which means more pigs next year. So we decided to look into some different technologies and try to surpass that 70% mark. And we think we did so with, you know, with our drop net research. We found that drop nets could capture 86% of the population. From there, we learned that landowners didn't want to utilize that technology because it meant spending nights out in the field. So we, you know, coupled some of the advantages of different techniques together and have since built this new Borebuster suspended trap system that is just about to hit the market here next month.
And the concept there is that even on a remote control basis, you're able to watch these pigs come into the cage system and then capture them.
That's right. So, you know, with the Borebuster system, it's a suspended system, so very similar to the drop nets. Another problem with controlling pigs is the fact that they're so smart. They learn from traps and they learn to avoid them after they see their counterparts captured in them. So it leads to behavior known as trap shy behavior. And with conventional traps, panels at ground level, thresholds to walk over, this suspended Borebuster trap doesn't have that. Neither do drop nets. They can walk in from any direction, leave in any direction. And Borebuster is also remote monitored, so you watch this thing from your computer or your phone anywhere in the world with an internet signal. So when you have 20 pigs coming to an area, you don't catch the first five that walk in there like some of the conventional traps would have done. You wait for all 20, hit the button, and you can completely eliminate that sounder and all the disease transmissions that could go with it.
Down the road. In other words, looking ahead, projecting what's ahead and our work with feral swine. What do we need to do? What's out there if we're trying to really get our arms around this problem?
I really think that the one of the biggest hindrances to complete hog control over a large geographic area is the fact that one neighbor may be doing something other than the next neighbor. If we go in with certain traps or control techniques and we eliminate 88% of the population, that's great. But if our neighbors aren't doing the same thing, it's a big problem because we're going to be fighting the same battle the next year. So I think one of the potential avenues we can go into in the future is try to form associations where landowners get together and work together to control this problem. Whether that be purchasing multiple traps and all saying, hey, we've got to all work to get this 80% of the population off our property, or whether it's purchase traps together or, you know, different technologies, new technologies for controlling them, because pigs are smart. They're learning from our traps. We need to learn and continually adapt those traps. And if we can all work together with some of those newer technologies, we can be effective at controlling pigs.